Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we're actually concluding our Choices sermon series. Hopefully it's been a little bit of fun for you. It was a little bit of fun for most of us that helped. I think it might have become a headache for some of our ladies that were changing the sign and the picture frame each week for us. But today we're going to look at love. I told them the title was Love Over Everything. And then I came in this morning and I realized when this got set up that almost everything was on there. But the reality is that it's hard to think, like we can say faith over fear, which is what we did first. We can say worship over worry. We can say together over alone. But when you say love and you think of the opposite choice, we might all think of a different word. Right, to me it was love over hate. And I said, well, that's a little harsh. I don't know that I want to talk about hating people. You know, I mean, but it could be, you know, worry, fear, it could be all those other things. It could be evil, it could be alone, it could be hurt, pain. It's everything. And so today we're going to look at in a couple different places of Scripture. The first is going to be in John chapter 13. These are going to be familiar words from Jesus to his disciples. And so I ask if you can and are able to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of this gospel lesson this morning. John 13. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." And now he's directing these words straight to the disciples by saying, "Little children," a term of endearment, "I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And I'm also going to read a passage that will be popular this week. I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day. Just not. I think it's another commercialized way to get my money. But you've heard this a lot, especially in weddings and stuff, but it's the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, commonly called the love chapter. And I'm reading this one from the NIV. And it says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish ways. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I am know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, church, is love. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I failed to mention, but I see some of you have figured it out. We are live on the Bible app again this week. So, love over everything. You ever give final instructions before you leave? If you're a parent, you do. Especially when you know the grandparents aren't going to make them listen. Yeah, I see it. Jen, we feel your pain. Right? So here's what we do. We call the kids in front of the adult and we say, now remember, at 8:30 it's bedtime. At 7:30 you better be in the tub. We give those final instructions that are most important. Because we know what happens if we don't. You show up at 9:30, no bath, chocolate all over the face, popcorn all in the floor. And then bedtime comes and it's 11 o'clock. Grandparents, I envy you. One day. But Jesus now has that same opportunity. He's got his disciples, 11 of them gathered. Judas has left to go take care of his business. But the 11 are still there, and Jesus says, I have some final instructions to give you. They're so important. I'm about to leave, so make sure you don't miss these instructions. He says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? He didn't stop there. He says, just as I have loved you, comma. So he didn't intend it to be the end of a sentence. He wants a continuation. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. So now he said, yeah, love each other. But now he's saying you should love each other the way I loved you. Really hard, right? Really hard to think about. But commands were something that would have carried a lot of weight with these Jewish men. They were accustomed to the commandments. They grew up with the law. We know in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus even is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says something that really we have a hard time understanding in our legalistic kind of minds. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Jesus is saying, everything that has been told to you in the Old Testament, you can hang the love of God and the love of neighbor on, and it will cover all of them. Because if you're doing those two things, you're going to be taking care of all those other laws. Even the Ten Commandments that we have, the first four deal with the love of God, and the final six deal with loving others. Love's a funny word. It's kind of a funny thing. Because I love tacos. I love good pizza. We had some good pizza yesterday. I love baseball games. I love playing golf with my friends, with my buddies. And I love my wife, my kids, and my family. But how can a round of golf be equivalent to my wife? But you know, I really think that our, but I do believe that we've lost the value of what the word love really means. Because we do love so many different things. And that's why I wanted us to hear 1 Corinthians 13, because it spells out what love is. And it says, love is patient. Now I want you, when you hear these, to think in it in two different ways. One, think about how God showed this type of love to you. And then one, how are you doing showing it to others? Love is patient. Safe to say God's been more patient with me than I'm patient with other people. Love is kind. Can you measure the kindness that God's shown you? It does not envy. I knew this was coming, and I just already said that I envied the grandparents in here. It wasn't real smart. But how many times in our society now do we measure our worth based on what we have compared to other people? And we say we love them, but what in reality is we want to be them. It's not who God created some of us to be. It does not boast. It is not proud. I think sometimes one of the hardest things, the hardest things for us as Christians to share with non-Christians is the love of Christ, because when they see us mainly as boastful, proud, and arrogant people. And if in my mind, if that's the type, I don't want to be a part of that. It gets harder. It does not dishonor others. Man, most of us, if we didn't mess that one up this morning, we'll mess that one up at lunchtime. By the way we talk about other people. It is not self-seeking. You ever sought what was best for you even though it was bad for somebody else? It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrongs. What do you think Christian marriages would look like if we just applied those two? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. And this is not a sermon because I am not a Valentine's Day kind of guy, although I did wear my pink tie. But what if we took those same words and we applied it to the way we treated other people? We do a decent job of treating our church family this way. But I bet if we're being honest with ourselves, we withhold that genuine love for people we don't believe deserve it. Because they think different than us. Because they vote different than us. Because they live different than us. But maybe God's trying to use you or me or us as a patient, kind, persevering, protecting person so that God can work His grace and His mercy into their heart. Our society now says you can't disagree with somebody in love. There's several opinions, some very public, of why Andrew doesn't get on Facebook. And some people say it's because he can't handle getting his feelings hurt. There's nothing you hadn't said that an angry mom hadn't told me because I didn't start her son. But do you want to know why I really do try to stay off Facebook? It's because it makes me angry to see Christians acting ignorant. And then filling the churches and wanting to know why people won't come. So maybe before you post something, you ought to read 1 Corinthians 13. Because it's just full right now of different ideologies And if I don't agree with you, then that means you hate people like me. And vice versa. And that's not the kind of love that Christ shows us. And it's not the kind of love that we're called to share. You see, I think we struggle in the church with love in really kind of two main areas. We see the greatest commandment says that we should love God with all we have, and the reality is sometimes we only love God with part of what we have. I don't think you need to look any further than how we're doing with our membership vows to go any further. But we can't love God with all we have when we're only willing to give Him part of what we have. Because we live in this kind of mentality now that as long as I'm a good person, and I don't have a few dollars, but as long as I put a few dollars into play to the little kids' nets, as long as we bring some canned goods and some shoe boxes, which are all wonderful things, can we agree that they're wonderful things? But God's given us so much more that He expects us to love Him with so much more. And then the second part of it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we love our neighbor sometimes. But what changed it for me is when somebody said, Andrew, if you knew how much God loved you, it would change the way you looked at other people. I want you to think about yourself for a moment. Odds are that not everybody in here feels that they deserve to be loved by God. Some of us struggle with that big time. And He still loves us. I think about all the wrong things I've done. And yet how much He still loves and blesses me. And if He loves me that much, He loves Stacy that much. He loves the stranger down the street that much. And who am I to think that I'm the only good enough one for His love? But what He needs is for us to be filled with His love so we can then go and love others. The children this month, their memory verse is 1 John 4:19, and it simply says, we love because He first loved us. And the second way I think we struggle with loving our neighbors is because Jesus said you are to love your neighbor as you love your church. We struggle with loving ourselves. We struggle with loving ourselves. And so it makes it a lot harder for us to then love other people. Jesus said, by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So church, my question is, do they even know that we are His disciples? Because the measuring stick is they will know by our love. I got a long way to go. I wouldn't want to answer how well I'm doing with 1 Corinthians 13 in front of this group. I wouldn't want to share publicly the way that I view or even think about myself. But if we'll let the love and grace of God work in our lives, then somehow in an amazing way, He'll use us to love other people. And if we're going to make disciples for the transformation of the world, it's going to have to start with love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.